David, you're very welcome back to the show and thanks for joining me this evening.
Thanks for having me, Amber.
So, David, I suppose to start off, before we dive into the research, can you tell me how members of the Small Firms Association are feeling at the moment?
Look, I think most small business owners at the moment, and certainly for the last 2 or 3 years, they're tired, they're weary. And unfortunately, the feeling at the moment is you're not in crisis mode. This is just normal mode. And that's what we're hearing from the members around the country. You know, there's certainly no difference between your members down there in Kerry or members around, you know, city centres. It's difficult. The costs are there. And Amber, there's a weariness, you know, and unfortunately having a lot of conversations between, I have heard the phrase, you know, why are we doing this anymore sort of thing, which is not something the Irish entrepreneurial spirit is used to saying, you know.
Absolutely not. No, that's terrible to hear. I know the association, you carried out research recently and it was looking at cumulative costs for businesses. What were some of the main findings? I suppose it kind of ties in with what you were saying there in terms of how they're feeling, that it wasn't probably overly optimistic, I can imagine.
No, well, certainly not. I mean, look, we are a resilient bunch. I will say that. I don't want to sound negative. And, you know, some companies are doing well. There's no doubt that when you do have a crisis, you know, some business owners are, I suppose, forced into making changes, you know, they might naturally have done. And for some people, that has worked very well. They've, you know, they've trimmed back probably excess costs and they've been able to look at productivity for some. But as this survey shows, you know, there's some things that they just can't avoid. So we undertook this survey with Amoric Research over the month of May. You know, we had a great response rate all around the country, especially, you know, from down in Kerry and Munster. It was, you know, a great showing, which... It's quite difficult to do surveys at the moment. Everyone seems to be doing them, so we're delighted with that. What came out of it, though, this is our third year in a row doing this. On the business costs, unsurprisingly, you know, over 77% reported an increase in costs. But when you look at that cumulatively, Amber, over the last 3 years that we've done that survey, that's now brought the total over 3 years to a 44% increase in costs, according to our members and small business owners around the country, which I have to say, even I was taken aback by that, and I live and breathe this every single day. But I mean, 44% cumulatively over 3 years is an extremely different environment for a business to be operating in. The top of the list was labour costs, as it was, as has been for the last 3 years. We certainly saw the impact for enrolment this year, with 4 in 5 companies saying that that was the biggest significant contributor to their costs. Wages in general, with a third saying that this was their key cost driver. And then when you look at what it was other than auto enrollment, a lot of reporting around sick pay and parental leave, those particular costs for a business being up, all in the employment space. Not too surprised at that, given the, I suppose, government imposed changes over the last couple of years. And just to be clear, our members know how important their staff are to their business. They want to be there. They want to reward them. They want to support them. So in general, the feeling was for the employees, but we as business owners now, you know, we can't handle that cost too much more within our business. I suppose second on the list was energy, which is gas and electricity. Mm-hmm. That was at 44%. And then the real killer here, Amber, and I think it's interesting, the next four were grouped together, but they were all between 37 and 39%, and that goes insurance costs, raw materials and supplies, fuel cost, and interestingly, property rent, leases and mortgages. So, you know, when you look at those particular costs, it's not as if, you know, you're one leading the group. Obviously, employment costs is number one, but the other five are coming in behind it at an extremely high level.
Yeah. And I know you've gone through there the different areas, I suppose, which was quite vast as well, where they were experiencing increased costs. Were you startled by the findings, even though I know you would obviously be in constant contact with your members as well, but were you surprised at how difficult they were finding things when the research came back?
Certainly. I, you know, as I said, speak to members every single day. We know it's bad. But Amber, 44% over 3 years. I mean, what business can sustain that level of increase in cost, which completely erodes a margin? I think the frustrating thing when you hear from, you know, energy costs, we all know that you know, that's not a government imposed issue, and raw materials again. But certainly when you see the biggest cost driver is employment and labour costs, there is a frustration out there amongst, you know, the level that's being imposed, I suppose. And I'm particularly drawing attention there to the minimum wage. The minimum wage has gone up 40% since 2021. That's a lot, and that causes the impact as such. Specifically, when the minimum wage goes up, you have everybody up the chain looking for an increase in their wages, and that's what the real killer is here for businesses, for small businesses.
Okay, and I wanted to ask you a little bit more about that, David, as well, because obviously I know that staff have welcomed the rise in minimum wage, and you mentioned as well, you know, that they are very focused on paying their staff fairly, and that's something that they do want. But I suppose it's coupled with all the other rising costs you mentioned there as well. So was it something that they were looking for in terms of maybe putting a freeze on the national minimum wage?
Yeah, I mean, look, the government has committed to moving to the to a living wage. That was supposed to be implemented by 2026. There was a pushing out of that date to 2029. So, you know, we do have wiggle room, i.e. we don't need to make a change this year. But certainly, you know, there is rumourings, and I'm in Leinster House, you know, once, twice a week. There is certainly murmurings that there will be another increase in the minimum wage. And the Small Firms Association has been very clear, this is not the time to increase the minimum wage. It's going to push small businesses over the edge. There has been significant increases of the last couple of years. We can't have another one this year. We really, really can't. So, yeah, look, I think that transition can certainly, you know, given all the other costs that I've pointed out, we certainly feel that there cannot be another increase in minimum wage in the budget 2027, because this will really push people over the edge. I certainly think, I mean, you hear a lot of public commentary about the budget 2026, that it was a pro-business budget, and it was a pro-business budget, but it was investing in long-term infrastructural needs of the business community, which is great and which is needed. Remember, the people that I represent, that's companies with 50 employees or less, they needed targeted supports to support them in the short term, because their crisis is short term. So when my members saw the budget last year, all they really felt they got out of it that would affect their pockets day to day was another increase in the minimum wage. Do you know what I mean? There was a disappointment from the small business community last year at the budget, and they are really looking at this year's budget to try and get a targeted support for them to sustain their business, to sustain their employees. I think that that's one thing that gets missed in the conversation around the minimum wage. Although the minimum wage has gone up, a lot of my members, and you see it in this survey, what they've had to do is cut back on staff in order to maintain that wage level for the staff that remain with them. So, I mean, that's not a solution, Amber, in terms of a long-term strategy going forward.
No, it's certainly not. And David, given the rise in prices and the escalation then associated with it as well, are some businesses maybe afraid that they won't have enough funds to keep their doors open?
Yeah, you've seen that yet again. The financial buffer, Amber, has been completely eroded. Last year, we were quite surprised to see that of those who were taking debt, that after the pillar banks, the next place they were getting their money was family and friends. That was a big, I think that was about 20% last year off the top of my head. What you saw this year was that money has now been eroded or used up. I don't know who those family and friends were that had a lot of extra cash around after COVID. It certainly wasn't myself or anyone I know. But luckily for some of the businesses last year, that's where they were getting their funding. What we see in this 2026 survey is that that money has dried up in terms of whether it's buffers from family and friends. The figure is that nearly 60% say they have less than 6 months of a financial buffer. And when you read into that, nearly half of those only have 3 months left in that. So it's concerning, and it's, you know, the clock is ticking for those businesses.
Absolutely.
The VAT reduction that's coming in on the 1st of July will certainly help some of the businesses within this survey. But I can say, Amber, they're clinging on with their fingernails until July 1st to get that bit of support. And although we were supportive of that, you have to remember that the VAT reduction that's coming in for the hospitality and experience economy sector, that will only help 25% of small businesses. We're kind of looking for support for the other 75%.
And David, in terms of maybe short-term loans, like, are they available to businesses, or maybe is the current economic uncertainty, is it preventing businesses from even attempting to borrow funds?
I think we have a major issue with debt and the right level of debt in this country when it comes to businesses. So it does seem from all the research, certainly this research and previous years, businesses are very concerned about getting into that. The majority of people, only one in five had applied for a loan, according to this survey. over the last 2 years. I mean, that's really concerning. I suppose it does also lend, you know, when you see the cash reserves issue that we've just spoke about, it does make sense. But that's a very low figure for businesses. Debt and the right level of debt for your stage at your business is a good thing. Then when they go looking for debt, we hear that they find it difficult or very difficult to access the right level of debt for their operation. Last year, it was medium-term finance that they looked for. That's finance to cover their business for 4 to 7 years. This year, the main finance they're looking for is 1 to 3 years, short-term capital, short-term investment. And that would again tie into just simply trying to keep working capital, trying to keep the bills paid, the employment bills paid to pay suppliers. So that's the trend that's gone on at the moment, a lot more short-term view. And it is difficult, according to the survey, the time it takes and the amount of interest that's being charged is making businesses stop and pause before making further investment. And I mean, that's not good for Ireland Inc. You know, you need to be investing in order to grow.
Absolutely. And David, what's the solution, or what would you at the Small Firms Association like to see done maybe to help businesses overcome some of these challenges?
Well, certainly the VAT reduction, as I said, is going to help for a proportion. We in the Small Firms Association, I've spoke to you about this before, Amber, we would have thought that a PRSI rebate targeted at those businesses that are most affected by these constant increases in the minimum wage. We feel that that would be a more sensible option, and we certainly have that. And we feel that that would support more businesses across sector and not focus on one specific sector. So that has always been our call, and that will be in our pre-budget submission again. We have put in our pre-budget submission to the Department of Finance, Department of Enterprise, Trade and Employment, and we have started our lobbying with individual TDs across the house to try and get this support. So that would be number one. We want to see targeted supports for businesses in this budget 2027. We cannot have another increase in the minimum wage. We would be extremely disappointed if we saw that. And again, when I talk about targeted supports for businesses in our budget submission, we're under no illusions what the constraints the government has, or what they've imposed on themselves, should I say, in terms of the money that they have to spend and how they're going to spend it. We know that the VAT reduction is going to cost in around 800 million annually. We do know, obviously, that after the fuel protests, there was another proportion of money taken out of the pot. And we would assume that there is going to be an income tax package. So when you take all those together, Amber, what's left is the way that we look at this. So in our proposals to government, we looked at sensible solutions, certainly around tinkering with the tax system that would put money back into the business owners' pockets. I suppose how I describe it is small tweaks to the tax system to allow business owners to get some of their investment off the table or to not pay as high taxes in certain areas. I'll give you an example. There is a thing called pension sacrifice, and that's where if an employee wants to put more money into their pension, they can ask their employer to pay a bonus, for example, into their pension pot. But in reality, in the background in the tax system, the employer still carries a tax burden on that. That makes no sense. So if, you know, we have a pension crisis, if the employee wants to put the money into their pension pot, if they have a bonus, they want to do that, why should the employer be paying extra tax on that? So that's one of an example of the solutions that we put forward in terms of tinkering with the tax system that aren't going to break the coffers of the Exchequer, but will make a meaningful difference. And we've several other proposals in there underneath that. And then I suppose finally, the Small Firms Association sits. I represented the Cost of Business Advisory Forum, mm-hmm. which was set up by the government last year. I've been sitting on that for about 9 months now. And that report will be due, should go to government for approval in the next, I think, the end of June or early July. And what we would really need to see, we spent a lot of work on that, both ourselves and the SFA, and there's other business representative bodies, including IBEC and all other representative bodies. And what we would like to see is speedy implementation of the recommendations that are in that report. That would be really helpful.
Absolutely. And just before we finish up, David, I wanted to ask you, if a business is struggling at the moment and they're listening to this, what message would you have for them?
I would say, as I would say, there is help out there. The help is free. You just need to make that time to take your head up out of the business, you know, from not packing the van, from not cleaning the floors, and go to either ourselves and the Small Firms Association. We have Mentors Work, which we run as well, which is free mentoring. If you go on to Mentors Work, Hotie, you will get a free mentor that has walked in your shoes and that can help and support your business, or even go to your local enterprise office. But you need to make the time to get the significant support, or the National Enterprise Hub as well, which is a phone line where you can contact and see what grants are available for your organization. There is help out there.
There certainly is. Well, David, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to me this evening. It's been lovely to have you on the show again.
Thanks for having me, Amber.